RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
But looky, 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 look who's here.
Mr. I know that guy.
Mr. Brownie Bites, Mr. Browns Beat Reporter, Mr. Cover Everything in Town, Daryl Ryder. Hi, Daryl.
Surprise, surprise, surprise. How you guys doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Daryl.
Although, I don't know, will I see you tomorrow out in the...
You will not. You will see me on Friday.
I'll see you on Friday. So yeah. I will see you next year.
Good point.
Well, I am very impressed with you. And again, I'm being very Phelpsian today. Your Seattle Kraken.
Yes.
Jersey.
I got that when I visited my sister. Had to have it. Best name in the NHL.
They did it the right way, didn't they?
Yeah.
Name was right. Colors were right. All of it.
Release the Kraken.
Utah Mammoth didn't do a bad job either. I got my first Utah Mammoth shirt the other day.
You and Jeff Schudel.
I have a Utah hockey from last year because they didn't have a name. And then when they came up with Mammoth, then I did the Mammoth. This is all worthless information anybody. But will we remember the Mammoth and the Kraken the way we remember
the Baskin wardrobe?
Will we remember them the same way we remember the Mariners and Blue Jays at the same time? That was for you, right? When they came into the league?
What?
Right, Mariners. Seattle? They both came in 77.
Seattle Pilots.
Well, it was the Mariners they came in, and the Blue Jays too, right?
True. Yeah, same year. Yeah.
All right. So
expansion times.
See again, things that I have worthless
random,
to remember.
Homer Jones.
But I can't remember Daryl. What's your last name again?
Sorry. But Utah used to be the Arizona Coyotes. So.
Yeah, but I mean it's a totally different name. It's not.
Just saying, they're not an expansion.
I mean, imagine if our football team moved and we changed the name of the football team.
Wow.
What would happen then?
Well, I could imagine the team moving because it's happened, but changing the name, I don't know. Hindsight being 2020, maybe they should have changed it all.
I think there's a lot of people that still think that. Daryl, what are we looking at on Monday? What is Monday going to look like?
I have no idea at this point. I think every
scenario... Give me the great Daryl Ryder guess on what Monday is going to look like.
I think all scenarios are in play right now. I think everybody stays. I think everybody could go. I think Kevin could
half
go.
Half and half? Yeah.
Like, I'm not dodging the question.
How about some Daryl dual lines? Why don't you give us some lines on Monday?
Percentage,
Kevin Stefanski's head coach.
40-60.
40 gone, 60 stays.
Yeah. 40-60.
That's where I was last week. I'm still kind of there, too.
So you both are leaning towards
the
change.
I think there's a chance they win in
Cincinnati. No, towards change or stay.
Yeah.
Towards change or stay.
I was leaning towards change.
You're leaning towards
stay.
Interesting.
Oh, I love it.
Split the difference. I think Sunday matters. We've been saying that for 3 weeks now. I do think it matters. I think there's... Should it? I don't necessarily think so. I wanted to get your take, Daryl, on what you thought of Kevin's comment yesterday about his future. It was kind of like down the middle, but to him saying it's a privilege to have this job, and I do know he feels that way, but what were your thoughts on what he had to say?
He blew the layup.
Did you think?
Yeah.
What was the layup?
The layup was, I love coaching here. I love this team. I am here as long as ownership wishes me to be here. Like... Wow. I understand what you're saying.
So you said there was something there. There was something more being said there that wasn't.
This is Kennedy Nixon because Jeff and I were sitting here. We listened to it. You saw it. So listening to it, we thought he made the right play.
No, I think that there was an opportunity. He's had a couple of opportunities this year where he could have either stuck up for somebody, be it Andrew Berry or whatever. Like, and he's just kind of just played it down the middle.
Yeah,
like not critical, but also not all. All in. And I don't...
Yeah, but time I checked, down the middle isn't wide right or wide left.
I know, but I just kind of feel like he had a real opportunity yesterday to quiet some noise. But this piggybacks on top of what we have been hearing since early December, and that is if Kevin Stefanski becomes available, he is going to be in demand, whether that's as a coordinator or as a head coach. And I don't think that's coming from Kevin Stefanski directly. Now, it might might be coming from people associated with Kevin Stefanski. Agents cough. But, you know, we'll see. But, like, I just feel there is a part of me that feels like Kevin has had enough here, that he's just exhausted by the whole process here. He's been through a lot in 6 years.
I mean,
years.
Wouldn't you be? I mean,
I'm not criticizing Tom.
The moment they told him that Joe Flacco was no longer in the quarterback room, I think that's where things went sideways.
Yeah, I mean, this six years, just this year, too, by the way.
Yeah,
just this year, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this 6 years has felt like a decade.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that. That's not me taking shots at Kevin.
I got you. Yeah, yeah.
It's just that's just the way this franchise operates. And so there is a big part of me that just thinks Kevin's had enough. If he stays, great. If he goes, you know what? Thank God I can start fresh somewhere else.
This team is fighting, and I know that, you know, they should, right? These guys got jobs, and, you know, they're trying to put out good tape, and they're young guys. It's young locker room, whatever. But what does that say to you, though, Darryl, the way they've played even the last couple of weeks? I mean, they took the Bills to the wire, right? And they beat a Pittsburgh team that had a lot to play for.
Yeah, well, it tells you that Kevin can coach. I know that there's a vast majority of Browns fans, or a loud minority of Browns fans.
Better said.
That don't feel he can coach, but it also shows that the locker room hasn't tuned him out, hasn't quit on him. Now, to your point, yeah, everyone's playing for jobs, not this year, but for 2026. But Tom, you of all people know, we have walked in that locker room on December 1st with the team out of it. And just dead. No energy, no life. Guys are making vacation plans. Guys, you know what I mean? Like, and that's not.
It's been the opposite.
Yeah, that's.
I know.
That's not been what it's has been here this month, as difficult and disappointing as this season has been. So Kevin clearly has not lost the locker room. And also, too, I mean, it's the Steelers. If you can't get up again for, you know, this is one of the very few times where I felt like this team cared about beating the Steelers. Like, you know what I mean? Because this isn't just
the
NFL.
Did the Steelers care about beating the Browns? I don't know.
They cared about the sack record.
Yeah, they cared about beating Myles Garrett, and that was about it. If Aaron Rodgers had looked to his left on second and third down, he had walk-in touchdowns. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know, but pro sports is so transient. So those rivalries that mean so much to fans, quite frankly, don't mean as much to players. Now, when we ask about it, they try and, like, you can see the wheels turning. They're trying to say the politically correct thing to, you know, whatever. But it's just another game on their schedule. That's how they view it. But it really felt like they cared about beating the Steelers, and they did.
Darryl Ryder is in studio with us right now. I want to remind you to subscribe to 92.3 The Fan's channel on YouTube right now, and you can get all the latest from Darryl on the Browns throughout the football season, including Brownie Bites, which airs immediately following all the Browns games. And Darryl and I jump in, and we have a quick 20-minute conversation about the games, which I think, again, another big popular thing on our YouTube channel this week. Any feedback on that? And, you know, I'm trying to remember what the headline was, because the headline, I don't think the headline, and you wrote the headline for this week's Brownie Bites too, right? Didn't you write it?
I write them all.
Yeah, but I thought the headline grabbed just a little tidbit of what we were actually saying, but didn't kind of it intrigued me, because I was with you and we did the thing,
and you and forgot,
I was
like, and 5 minutes later you forgot everything.
No,
you had said.
I was like, I guess Darryl did say that way about this game, about Myles Garrett and you know, Pittsburgh trying to avoid him to try to get a victory on Sunday. But everyone does when they play against the Browns defense.
I guess on Sunday night in Pittsburgh, the loser gets fired. Is that what's going to happen?
Do you think that's going to? We talked about this for a little bit.
I don't think so. I think both of those guys are safe.
Pittsburgh doesn't Although if they don't make the playoffs, there might be a possibility. There's
part of me that wants Tomlin to get fired or Harbaugh to get fired, because I think life infinitely gets better for the Browns.
That's probably true.
I am rooting for that at this point.
Are you going to tell me that if for some reason they decided to fire Kevin, that you wouldn't want either one of those guys here?
I would take either one in a heartbeat.
Harbaugh, I think, is a little more interesting. Like, I just don't – I can't see – unless it's him and
Lamar.
Well,
Schefter said either one of them or both of them would take a TV job. Like, that's what
I can see that
right out of the gate,
especially John. Yeah, I can see that.
I gotta tell you, I'd watch Tomlin.
I would love.
He'd be great.
Oh, he comes through the TV when he talks right now.
He does.
I mean, he's so intense, and I'm just like, I'm scared of him.
I would love to hear John's thoughts on television on all the scandals associated with his brother.
Oh, my.
Oh, that's not a bad call either. I didn't even think about that.
It's a documentary, I think, yeah.
That's going to be like Taylor Swift's album after, I guess, Travis retired. I hate the fact that everyone was trying to convince me this weekend that Travis is 100% done. He's going to retire. I want him to play 1 year here.
You want him here, don't you?
I want him here for 1 year, one or two, maybe 2 years.
Why would you do that to him, though?
Who knows? Maybe they turn things around. You're going to tell me that whoever the quarterback
is. I respect your eternal optimism, Andy.
I don't know. You never know. I mean, think about all those great players that came through here. Eddie Murray.
You mean all those washed-up Jets and Patriots over the years?
No, I was actually thinking.
From the Cornell and Mangini more regimes? Tom knows what I'm talking about.
I was thinking about Oral Hershiser and Eddie Murray and baseball players that came through.
Danny Martinez.
Dave Winfield, right?
Final bow.
Yeah.
Andy, there's a nice note in your locker, and a man would like you to take a drug test right now so that we can take a look.
If they're getting, maybe they want to start a family here in Cleveland, why not work for a year and she could maybe just rest her voice for a year and think about how she could write albums about.
You love the Cleveland angle, don't you?
Oh, I can't. Ah. I love it. I you know why I love it? Because it was bigger than, like, I've talked to Travis since, like, he kind of got. I've talked to both those guys. Like, when Jason was at Cincinnati, like,
ding!
One of my favorite interviews that we ever did, because Skype was first starting to hit. You're giving me the put my fingers on the ground.
I'm enjoying story time with Uncle
Jason
Baskin here.
So Jason's about to get drafted. I'm looking at these sheets going into the NFL draft, and they're talking about Jason Kelce and his opportunity to make it to the NFL. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to pick up the phone. So I called, got his number, and then I realized he was from Heights. So then now it was easy, right? So now he's down there, and I'm like, hey, can we do a quick talkback? And he's like, yeah. So we're doing this talkback.
I'm impressed
not
that he knew what a talkback was.
It's just two people talking.
I know what it is, but I'm impressed
Skype.
He knew the
Sorry.
Lingo.
No, he knew it. So he's like, yeah, let's do it. So he fires up his computer. I fire up our computer when I was working at the ABC station here in town. And then so it was, and he's got like 15 pizza boxes in the background. Like, he just, I don't know if it was him and his brother or nothing.
Maybe he was first in on the NIL.
Maybe he was. Maybe he had a great pizza deal out of Cincinnati. I don't know. I've always kind of, you know, you want to root for hometown guys.
We love the Kelces here.
I think it'd be great, man.
It would be.
How much fun would that be?
What do you think jersey sales would be like for a Travis year here in Cleveland?
Or Taylor coming to all the games. I just
want her to do a concert here again.
Sanders to Kelce for, oh my goodness.
Oh, do you know how many times we'd be on national TV next year?
Every game. Jim Nance and Tony Romo would be.
Every week.
Living in the Nance condo in Westlake.
That's
just
right.
Telling me about.
I think it's Westlake. It's Westlake or Bay.
Hey, Daryl.
One of those posh
neighborhoods. Has Myles Garrett painted himself into a corner here on this record? I mean, he's been milking this thing for about 5 weeks now, right? Let's get this thing done.
Well, his favorite quarterback.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
The sack is Joe Burrow.
Good point.
Joe Burrow is playing on Sunday. My take on it is, first of all, he's at this point with more than 100 fewer snaps than Strahan or TJ Watt needed, even though he's going to need one more game to do it. But the Browns have played from behind pretty much the entire season, so teams haven't had to throw as much, thus fewer opportunities.
And oh, by the way, those guys did not have to deal with what he's had to deal with on a week-to-week basis.
Double, triple, plus a chip and all that, right? Yep. But my take on is he needs two sacks on Sunday. Really push by it, and then people don't really have much to say about it. I do think he gets two sacks on Sunday. I really do. He might get seven looking at that Bengals offensive line. He might challenge the NFL single game record. That's really, like, if you look at Myles Garrett's to-do list in his career, that's really one. Like, I think that's the last thing. Can he challenge the single game sack record, which I think is eight?
It is.
And he's knocking on the door 200, too.
Yeah.
Next year. It could happen next year. So, Daryl, thank you. As always, we're watching Brownie Bites on our YouTube channel and reading everything that you put out there and listening to everything you have to say on social media. You know, maybe half-hearted. No, I'm just kidding.
Happy New Year, Daryl.
Happy New Year. Shout out Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
There you go. Thank you very much. Happy New Year to you.
Does it all.
All right, let's come back. We'll talk to Bill Rabinowitz. He is in Dallas getting ready for the Buckeyes. Over Miami in the Cotton Bowl, the national quarterfinal. He is Tom Withers. I'm Andy Baskin. Jeff is off today. Let's go to the hotline right now. And it's a guy you can read on Substack. I love it because it goes right to my email, and I read Bill Rabinowitz every time that thing pops in my email, so I read that all the time. And
I used to know a guy named Bill Rabinowitz. Is this the same guy?
You still know him. Yeah. Hi, Bill.
What's up, Bill? Happy New Year, man. Good to hear from you.
Happy New Year. Yeah, you too, Tom.
Thank you.
All right, my friend. There you are. You're in the center of the universe right now when it comes to Ohio State football. I'm just curious your thoughts on this game in general and where we are. The first thing I thought of, though, when I knew we were going to talk to you, I was like, can this be the Tennessee game from last year? And I think there are just too many little factors that say no in some ways. What do you think?
Yeah, I haven't really thought about it that way. Because, you know, last year I kind of knew one of two Ohio State teams would show up. It'd either be the team that laid the egg against Michigan and mailed in, or a team that was just really, like, angry and was going to take it out on somebody. And we saw what happened. You know, I don't get the sense it's like that this year. Yeah, they were disappointed they lost to Indiana, but it wasn't the emotional crushing defeat that Michigan was last year. And honestly, I think Miami is better equipped to match up against Ohio State than Tennessee was last year. They've had an experienced quarterback. I don't think Carson Beck is great, but he's experienced. He's going to be able to handle some of the stuff that Ohio State throws at him. I think it's an intriguing game. I mean, I think Ohio State is certainly rightly favored and should win, but Miami is good enough to beat Ohio State if Ohio State's not on its game, especially with that defensive line they have.
I totally agree, Bill. Great points there. I was wondering, what do you think the Buckeyes learned from the Indiana game? I mean, there's been issues with the red zone offense all year. There's been some obvious issues at right guard, are, you know, whether they've been addressed or not during this break or not. But what do you think they came away from the Indiana game thinking that they needed to fix for this matchup and beyond?
Well, the thing I worried about in terms of Ohio State all year, especially toward the end, was they just hadn't been challenged. It was a Texas game,
right?
And you knew Michigan would be emotional, but, you know, Michigan wasn't all that good. I mean, they were decent, but not great. And I wondered how they would handle adversity. They had been in a close game all year, really. Even Texas, they were 14-0 late and before Texas scored. And we saw they didn't handle it very well. They I won't say they got flustered, but they didn't make the plays that they needed to make. And so I think that did kind of galvanize them or wake them up. I mean, I think the lead that I wrote to the game story was Ohio State's not invincible after all. And, you know, it was easy to think that maybe they were. And so I think it might be actually a blessing in disguise. I mean, we'll see how it plays out. I mean, look, if they lose tomorrow, you say, well, Indiana exposed them as being not so good. But I'm more likely to think that it was a wake-up call in a way. Not that they needed to be, like, you know, slapped in the face, but just kind of like, okay, you know, we are not perfect, and we've got some things to work on. And you mentioned right guard. You know, I'm not going to blame the loss on a right guard. That'd be kind of silly. But Tegra Tshabola is almost certainly not going to play in this game. It's going to be probably Gabe Van Sickle with Josh Padilla at right guard. You know, there are going to be some changes. I think that Ryan Day is doing the right thing by taking over the play calling duties from Brian Hartline, because Hartline's obviously going to go to South Florida. I think it's just a lot to have on somebody's plate to do everything, you know. And Hartline told me yesterday that, no, I'm not distracted. Everything's, you know, I'm all on Ohio State right now. But, you know, that's not realistic. He's got to be thinking at least a little bit about South Florida. So I think that their approach is right. Now they just got to go out and perform.
Was that a difficult decision then? Do you think for Ryan to say, hey, I'm going to take over the play calling in this? Because if they didn't have a good offensive showing against Miami, people would say, well, Hartline had one foot out the door. To me, that's the number one reason why I think Day should take take over the play calling. But what do you think, and how difficult do you think that decision was?
Yeah, I don't think it was all that hard. And honestly, it's easier because in the postseason, you have more time between games. Mm. You know, signing day is over. Ryan Day doesn't have all these other things he's got to deal with. He can concentrate just on football. He did this last year, too. He was much more involved. Well, much more. He's always been involved. But he was more involved with the offense last year and maybe to some degree the defense, even though Chip Kelly was the coordinator. And Chip Kelly, you know, didn't need to have his hand held. But I think Ryan Day loves that part of the game. And now that he has a little time to do it, immerses himself in it. So I think it's all positive. I just think it makes sense to do it this way.
Let's look at the other side of the ball for a second, Bill. I really see Matt Patricia as an X factor here. He's done a marvelous job with this team that's got multiplicity at many positions. You know, when you talk about Downs and Styles and Reese and what you can do with those guys in terms of walking them to the line of scrimmage, et cetera. I was a little surprised, Bill, that they didn't bring the heat on Mendoza like I thought they could. Would you expect to see more blitzes tomorrow night and really try to make Beck and get him off his spot and get him to make mistakes? Because he can be turnover prone.
Yeah, I think that makes sense because he's not the scrambling threat that Mendoza was. Not that Mendoza's like, you know, he wasn't Braxton Miller, but, you know, he could move.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure Beck is really that kind of guy. And other than Malachi Tony, I don't think Miami has the kind of receivers that scare Ohio State the way that Sarad and a couple of those guys for Indiana did. I think that he's going to go into his little bag of tricks and come up with some new things. And he's been masterful. I mean, I'm planning and hoping to do a kind of a profile on him that'll run hopefully tomorrow morning.
Oh, nice.
And so it's fascinating. I mean, he took a year off last year. He'd obviously been with the Patriots all those years. And when he was hired, a lot of people thought, you know, kind of, well, he flamed out as the Colts coach. You know, he's in Belichick's shadow with the Patriots. How good is he really?
Right.
Well, he showed it, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the players all love him. They really do. And so he has been the X factor this year. You know, to have a defense that lost 8 starters, I think almost all of them are in the NFL, to have a defense that's better is astounding. Sure.
Bill Rabinowitz joining us here. Buckeye Brotherhood's a book we're going to talk about in a second. I was going to check him out on Substack. When you talk about Patricia for a second, is he happy in Columbus? Because I got to tell you, early in the season, seeing him in press conferences or just even catching a glimpse of him on the sidelines from cutaway shots, I can't remember ever seeing him smile in any interview in New England or Detroit. And yet, in the beginning of the year, man, he just seemed like he loved the game again. Is his future still in Columbus for next year even?
Well, we don't, you know, I hesitate to ever say yes definitively to any of those kind of questions. I actually asked him that yesterday. I said, you know, you have a 3-year contract, but we all know how this works. And, you know, he did not give a definitive answer, but he did say, and I believe him, that he is very happy here. His 3 kids, they're all adolescent age, are very happy here. You see him walk into the stadium with them. They're all smiles. I just think I think the word that pops to my mind is joyful.
Yes.
I mean, he's just having the time of his life. You know, he's got good players that he really likes. I hate to say, I think everything in life is dysfunctional to some degree, but in terms of dysfunction, I think at Ohio State, it's minimized. I covered the Browns, as Tom knows. I mean, I know about dysfunction. And here's a funny stat. I actually looked this up briefly. My math might be wrong. But I covered the Browns for 6 years. In the first 2 years, the two expansion years, they lost 27 games those 2 years. That's how many games Ohio State's lost in the 14 years I've covered Ohio State.
You're so spoiled, Bill.
Oh, man.
Good for you, man. You earned it.
Hey, by the way, just your penance will be to have to cover the Bengals and Browns on Sunday. Just so you know.
Oh, boy. Hey. I mean, you root for them to lose, right? If you're a fan of either team, lose to get better draft position.
Hey, what do you think this little time off has done for Jeremiah Smith and that quad injury? And obviously another one of the storylines here is that he's going against the hometown guys, right? He's going against his boys from South Florida. How do you think Smith is in terms of health, and what do you think this means to him on a deeper level?
Yeah, well, both he and Carnell Tate say they're completely healthy, which they clearly were not against Michigan and probably not against Indiana. For Jeremiah Smith, who's a very prideful guy, this means everything. He came close, somebody told me for the book, that he was in the end tempted to go to stay home, signing them. And he was committed to Ohio State for a whole year. And then signing day comes and Miami shows him the bag. And he's like, You know, and that was the cause for many, many tense moments in Columbus that day. But obviously he stuck with the commitment to Ohio State, has been everything that he was advertised to be. I think that he really wants to show who he is and show that he is the best receiver in the country. You know, he didn't win the Biletnikoff Award, which was surprising to me.
Incredible.
I'm a voter. I voted for him. I was like, you know, I'm Mekhi Lemons, a very good receiver. But I'm like, there's one Jeremiah Smith in college football. You know, there's one. And so I think that all of this will be motivation for him, for sure.
All right, I want to talk to you about your book for a second, Buckeye Brotherhood, which is out right now. And by the way, if you're still looking for a special gift to get somebody over the next couple of days here, or you're like, you got some stuff and you're like, I don't like that, you return it, go buy his book. Go get Bill's book, because some of the stuff that's in this book that he has is just so, like, if you're a Buckeye fan, you've got to read it, because there's just inside access to Ryan Day. In fact, I think it was after the Michigan game, wasn't it, that Ryan had made reference to you after the win, talking about the book. I was like, "All right, way to go, Bill." So
it was funny. Yeah, I was half embarrassed and half flattered. I didn't know which to be.
I found the part interesting, just about how touch and go it was for Ryan, even about, and his family, about, you know, their situation in Columbus after losing to Michigan, you know, two games ago. Now, can you touch on that for a second?
Sure. You know, after the loss in 24, a 13-10 that nobody saw coming. I don't think Michigan saw it coming. There was just a perfect storm of bad things that happened for Ohio State. They Jaden Fielding missed two field goals. Will Howard threw two interceptions. They botched some special teams plays. It was just, you know, unbelievable. And they couldn't almost process it. And it got so ugly in town, not just for Ryan Day, but his kids were getting, you know, RJ, a 16-year-old son, was getting death threats. It was crazy. And they were ready to go. I mean, Ohio State was not going to fire him. I know they were not going to fire him. But I think the Day family was ready to leave. Nina Day was starting to, like, take stuff down off the walls. And she went to the Tennessee game thinking, basically, screw it. You know, if we lose, fine, we're out of here. And, you know, well, we won't never look back. And instead they did what they did, and, you know, everything came up roses, I mean, literally.
Yeah.
And so obviously for now, lived happily ever after. But that, the Tennessee game and the Oregon game, all those games changed everything. I mean, think about where Ohio State could be right now if Ryan Day left, if they, you know, lost to Tennessee or Oregon, and they, as a family, decided, no, this is not worth it. Where would Ohio State be right now? Who would they have gotten as a coach? There was no great coach out there. We see what happened this year with the coaching cycle. That playoff run changed everything for Ohio State.
Changed everything for Ryan Day as well. And here we are, Bill, with him having a chance to go back-to-back, which is something Woody Hayes never did, Jim Tressel couldn't do, and neither did Urban Meyer. So just speak to his legacy for a second. I know he's still got hopefully, you know, more years ahead of him at Ohio State. But, you know, where does he kind of fit in the pantheon, if you will? I mean, he's obviously, I think, the highest winning percentage of any coach in college football history.
Yep. It's remarkable when you consider that he had never been a head coach before. You know, he comes to Ohio State when he was appointed as the acting coach in 2018 after Urban Meyer's suspension. Everyone, including Nina, she told me this, look, you know, like, who's Ryan Day? You know, they had Kevin Wilson on the staff, they had Greg Schiano on the staff, and Gene Smith, to his credit, somehow knew that Ryan Day was the right guy. And then, you know, he kind of passed that audition, and when Urban retired, he took over. It's remarkable. Now, look, Ohio State is Ohio State. It's unique among college football programs, and it's never had an extended dip. It hasn't had consecutive losing seasons in more than a century. I mean, that's just unfathomable.
Think of that.
You know, the way college football is. And so, you know, he was handed, I mean, I don't want to use that third baseline that Jim Harbaugh used, because that was, you know, offensive in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But in terms of taking over a program, it's a pretty good program to take over. But he had to sustain it and enhance it, and he has. And it's a remarkable coaching job that he's done. And he's done it without any off-field embarrassments, without any, you know, from himself or players. It's been a pretty smooth-running ship under Ryan Day. And Urban, obviously, is a Hall of Fame coach, one of the great coaches in college football history. But he would drive people to the point where it was like, okay, he's never satisfied. It grinds on you. Ryan Day still has high expectations, but it's pleasant to work there. And I think that was a needed change has been an effective change.
Let me throw this one at you. Chip Kelly going to Northwestern, especially knowing that Brian Hartline's leaving. Did you think that there was any chance that he might come back to Ohio State? And just your thoughts on Kelly going to Northwestern.
Yeah, I actually did a Q&A with Ross Bjork, the athletic director, that ran last week on my Substack, and I don't think I included this in there because it was more of just us talking at the end, and I mentioned Chip Kelly, and obviously Hartline is leaving us. Is there any thought about bringing Chip back, or is kind of that ship a sail kind of thing? He said, yeah, you know, I don't think that would, you know, is really an option. Mm. Not that he did a bad job or people weren't happy. I just, you know, he'd been there, done that, won a national championship. You know, it's all downhill. He comes back, I guess. And I was surprised at Northwestern, honestly. But when you factor in that he, you know, did not have a blazing successful year with the Raiders this year, I don't know that any NFL team would have hired him as a coordinator. So what are his options? He didn't like being a head coach in this NIL era, so a college coordinator makes sense to him. I just didn't necessarily think it'd be Northwestern.
All right, last question. How's this thing going to play out tomorrow night?
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I try not to even think about that until I actually do my preview. So I do think that Ohio State is just too complete a team for Miami to deal with. I can't see Miami running the ball very effectively, and I can't see Carson Beck just slicing them up through the air. I think Miami's defense will give Ohio State some issues, but I think that the fact that Indiana exposed that has caused Ohio State to try to fix that, and I think that they'll be able to do enough on offense, especially when you have a healthy Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate, that they should be able to score enough. And I just don't think Miami can. But, you know, these games are a little crazy. And when you have a long layoff like Ohio State has had, who knows what team's going to show up? I mean, they've talked about keeping their edge through tough practices and all that, but it's still been almost a month. So we'll see. But, I expect Ohio State to win. I wouldn't be absolutely shocked if Miami pulled the upset. But I think the odds, Ohio State's a 9.5-point favorite, and I think they're basically given a 75% chance to win. That feels right to me.
All right, Bill, tell everybody about the book, Buckeye Brotherhood, one more time. Where do you get it, and how do you get a hold of it?
Yeah, well, it's Buckeye Brotherhood, it's available on Amazon. We sold out of the hardcovers very quickly, which it's a problem, but, a good problem, I guess. But they did rush a paperback into print. It should be in Ohio stores, Barnes & Noble especially. I actually went to the North Canton one, because my wife is from there, the day after Christmas, and they were sold out, but they're expecting more. So the other option, if people want, is if you subscribe for a paid annual subscription, I will send you a free signed and personalized paperback version, just because I want people to read it. And so I've been delighted by the response to it, the reviews on Amazon, and the compliments I've gotten. And been very gratifying. And so for people who want to know why and how they won the championship last year, and not just that they won it, I think this will tell you.
Good for you, Bill. Congratulations on all that, man. That's awesome.
It is a must read. There's no question about that.
Substack. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Substack is the other way to go. Make sure, because I read it every day. I get an email, Substack, Bill Rabinowitz, and now I know what's going on with Ohio State football. Hey, have fun covering the game tomorrow night, and we will talk to you soon.
That sounds great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Happy New Year, Bill. See you.
Bill Rabinowitz. The book is Buckeye Brotherhood. Buckeye Brotherhood. Of course, you can catch him on Substack every day. Time now for 2020. This will be the last one for me, so Happy New Year to everybody. Coming to you from me and my family, and this will be your last day, too. So, Tom Withers.
Happy New Year to you and your family.
There you go.
Andy Baskin.
Big plans tomorrow or no?
No, kind of quiet. Maury and I do a traditional surf and turf dinner at home.
Nice.
Hopefully our son TJ will stop by at least to say hello before he heads out with his lovely girlfriend Natalie for a New Year's Eve.
Oh, you're in this. If you're saying her name on the air, she's almost a daughter-in-law. I can feel this right now.
We love Natalie. She's so great. They're tracking in that direction, and then settle in and scream at the TV for a couple hours.
There you go. But I got a buddy of mine, Josh Bookman, I might introduce you to if you ever need to at some point.
I've heard that name.
216-474-0092.
Has a ring to it.
Yes, it does have a ring to it. Well said. Thank you. Well said. You said something a couple segments ago.
I'll be here for another hour. Go ahead.
You want to talk about Weather Seal for a second? So this game, and I was talking about Ohio State and Tennessee a year ago and how that was a game changer. And, Bill Rabinowitz, who we just talked to, you can listen to that on the Odyssey app, talked about how that Tennessee game was a game changer, but it was at home.
It was.
And
it was cold, and the Tennessee kids came out with no shirts on, and they paid for it.
Yeah, and it really was kind of an awkward situation for Ohio State, because I'm telling you, every game since I think I started covering the Buckeyes in 95 was probably my first year really covering. Every game that I had ever been to at Ohio State had always tend to be at the least 20% Ohio State fans in the bowl, and that was at Michigan. Okay. And otherwise, it was like 70% Ohio State fans, no matter where you are. Like, I remember rolling Indiana, took over the whole stadium. The national championship with Tressel. That stadium was 97% when Ohio State played Miami for that national championship. It was just unbelievable. You're sitting in Arizona and you're like, I feel like I'm at the Shoe.
Yeah, yeah.
But Tennessee,
they brought them
last year, man.
They traveled.
They all stopped at Buc-ee's and they all came up.
Fueled up at Buc-ee's.
And I stopped there 2 weeks ago, first time ever. Loved it. But I mean, that was a weird crowd. Ohio State fans were not happy with the Buckeyes.
No.
After losing to Michigan, yeah. And now all of a sudden they're back on the field. And it took, what, a couple touchdowns, and all of a sudden, oh, we're back.
It did. And also, though, the acknowledgement that it was the very first, right, playoff game
ever.
At night,
yes.
At the Shoe, like it had something to it. There was history beyond, yeah. Just Jeremiah scoring touchdowns. So
I loved it. I love the fact that they have home sites for the first round.
So they need them for the second round, and that's where we would be tomorrow night with the Buckeyes.
How are they going to do that?
So it's interesting. I've heard several scenarios. Now, obviously, you could expand the field to 16, which would at least make Notre Dame people happy this year,
right?
For a minute. And then there's the rub I think that they have is the bowl games have always been such a big part of college football, right? They are, and I get it too. Mm-hmm. So there's been talk of potentially moving the bowl games to the beginning of the year and have, you know, some kind of set matchups there, because if you can't incorporate them into the, you know, the traditional playoff format, if you will,
right,
then it's going to be tough to do. Because I would love to see the second round games on campus sites. College football is about the pageantry and the home field advantage and what have you, right? We see in the NFL up until the Super Bowl, right? You play your home game on, and the 49ers this year, they may be playing their home game in the Super Bowl, oh, by the way. So I'd like to see them tweak it. I know there'll be some kind of tweaks coming out of this year, especially with all the, you know, the yelling and screaming that went on after James Madison and Tulane got in. So
yeah.
I'd love to see the second round games played on campus. I think that would be a nice, fitting way to change this.
All right, go back to the bowl beginning of the season. So do you take
just
all the bowls?
Just a thought. It's an idea.
Well, so then, but the would
big,
you hang
the big,
on?
The big bowls.
Hang on to the last five bowls then, right?
Right.
Hang on to your five big bowls and let them be the national semifinal and the championship. Well, that would only be three.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I thought that...
I kind of think the national championship likes having the national championship be the national championship and not be tied to a bowl.
And let's play that in the Rose Bowl every year. By the way.
Well, Rose Bowl, I understand.
I'm a big fan.
I am too, but is that Advantage West? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know.
After you're dumping. I think the other part of it is, too, you're asking fans to travel, you know, what, 4 weeks now?
Yeah.
Possibly.
Well, and let's see what happens. And, you know, you've brought this up several times, Andy. This break is concerning, right, for all the teams that are going to be playing tomorrow night for the first time in this format. As you recall, last year, they all lost.
Right.
I mean, Ohio State went out and handed one to Oregon, right, which I still can't get over the fact that was 34-0 in the second quarter. The number one team in the country, oh, by the way.
Right.
So let's see how this plays out. But, yeah, one of my thoughts would be to get those second-round games on campus.
Here's what I do like. Like, rather than having this long layover between – I mean, imagine if Ohio State wouldn't have won, although they would have played last week.
Right. So, or 10 days. 10 days.
Yeah, I think 10 days is the perfect scenario. And I don't think college football minds playing a game on a Tuesday night during December or on a Thursday night or a Wednesday. No one cares.
No. Especially
now. I mean,
look,
we're playing tomorrow. Yeah. It's New Year's Eve.
Exactly. Yeah.
And when they first started playing this game on New Year's Eve, I was like, oh. I'm like, this isn't the Holiday Bowl. Let's go. But then once you realize that if you win, you get to the championship, you tend to forget about
that. Yeah, can I ask one favor? Can we not have this come down to a field goal try?
At 10, midnight?
9, 8. That was the worst.
It was brutal.
Oh.
Brutal.
And it coincided with the dropping of the ball, didn't it?
I mean, yeah, it's almost as Stranger Things as having everyone tell you the Indians were going to win the World Series, but then that rain delay pushed the final past midnight.
Right,
and that's
exactly.
Why, remember theory they were supposed to win and they would have won if it was this day, but then since you got the rain delay, it pushed it into the next day and fate would bring you into that scenario.
Let's not go back there.
It's weird.
It's okay.
Was there anything else you would do with the bowl? Are you good with going to 16?
Yeah, I kind of am.
I'm okay with it.
Why not?
Well, the thing is you lose the bye, right?
Do.
That's it.
Correct. And you want to reward those teams that have earned it, right?
Yeah.
The other thing, though, is these conference championship games are going to become either more important or meaningless. I don't know where that comes into play. And the only thing that worries me, too, about the format and the way it's structured now is, Andy, we're going to lose those great interconference matchups that we would see early in the season, right? You're not going to see Ohio State scheduling. They got Texas next year.
Well, are you going to see Ohio State, Michigan earlier in the year? That's the question.
That's possible, yeah. But yeah, I think you're going to not see Ohio State scheduling Texas. They got Alabama back-to-back the next 2 years. I'm not sure you're going to see schools schedule those kinds of games, which is a shame because that's what makes college football great as well.
But you get 3 weeks of those games at the end of the season.
Do.
So that's why I think Ohio State's run last year was the greatest run in the history of college football.
There's nothing close.
Maybe this year will be the greatest run. But as of now, within that 365-day period, you witnessed the greatest run of to beat all these top 10 teams all the way through to win a championship. It's amazing.
Well, and Dan and I were talking about this earlier off air. I mean, when you get down to the quarterfinals, Andy, these are eight really good teams. I think all of them, to be quite honest, I think all of them are capable of winning the whole thing. I watched that Texas Tech team several times this year. Mm-hmm. That's a really good squad, and we all know what Oregon can do as well.
All right, let's hope that the Buckeyes aren't doing what the Cavs did last year. That's all. I'm just worried about the schedule.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden,
too much time off.
Yeah. I still feel good about Ohio State tomorrow, but you never know. You never know. And let's find out more about Miami. So we're going to bring in Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press. He's from Miami. He covers the Hurricane. So he's going to give us the other side of the coin. We talked to Bill Rabinowitz a little bit earlier. Tim Reynolds, next. Baskin and Phelps with Tom Withers.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.